Talking with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Pork Council. Roy Lee, we're just about done with 2012. It's been a rough year for a lot of folks in agriculture. Drought, obviously, cutting into grain supplies across the Midwest especially. And we saw at the same time a lot of dry weather concerns in cattle country. I know that that doesn't necessarily impact pork producers for your animals themselves, but it has a real impact when you start looking back at your feed supplies.
Yeah, it does. You know, this was we started the year making a little bit of money as we were selling hogs, and prospects were pretty good. But as the drought persisted in the Corn Belt especially, and you started to see corn prices climb, and, you know, we were something in the $5 a bushel range there the 1st of June, and we got as high as $8 here in the fall, and we're back down. We're still, you know, if you look out at March, we're still $7.20. All the way until you get to September next year, you're still got over $7 a bushel on corn. And so that's a 40 to 50% jump in the price of corn just really in the last 6 months. And so we don't have a good way to adjust for that, if you will. It's hard to project that out. Looks to us, you've seen some liquidation of herd. You've seen some folks across the country selling off sows and bringing the herd back, trying to reduce supply and get the price up. Demand's been relatively good considering how high the prices have been, but keep price up so that we can maybe offset some of those costs of inputs, feed in particular. September was probably the worst month on record in terms of losses on a per head basis, even comparable to what we were losing in 98, 99 when live hogs were $9. And what was frustrating about that was we were getting good prices for hogs, but just the sheer cost of what grain was making it almost impossible. No one was making money. We're still losing money today. But the projections with some dollar futures for lean hogs in the summer next year really kind of lead us to believe that if we can get a corn crop, that next year should be a little more profitable and not going to make lots of money, not going to make money the way we've been losing money, but should be back in the black with an opportunity for growth. And long-term prospects, I think, for U.S. pork is still really good in terms of exports, and that's a big deal to Oklahoma. We export significant amount of product out of our state. And so long term, when we look around the world, we think the prospects are still really good. And so we're trying to be positive about what 2013 holds. But as much as we need rain here, we also need rain in the Corn Belt. And that's going to be important for whether you're in the cattle industry feeding out cattle, or you're in the poultry industry and raising chicken, or you're in the pork industry raising hogs. We got to have corn, and we don't grow enough corn here in Oklahoma to take care of all of what our needs are. So we need to help them. They need some rain too, not just rain for us locally.
You know, 2012 also an interesting year when it comes to the environment that the hog industry has had to work within, and not talking about dealing with EPA or anything like that, but dealing with some of these animal activists, folks that want to do harm to animal agriculture in general. Seems they've taken a special liking to the hog industry.
Yeah, they're, Humane Society of the United States in particular is still very frustrated. They negotiated an agreement with United Egg Producers on doing away with layer cages and changing the way that layer hens are raised. And they wanted to put that into federal law. And the pork industry and the beef industry as well both fought that agreement in Congress and said, look, we don't care if you want to come to an agreement. That's your business. But it doesn't have any place being in federal law. And as a result of that, they've not been able to get it into federal law. Certainly helps that Chairman Lucas doesn't like the idea very much, and we're very, very blessed to have Frank Lucas in Congress representing Oklahoma and as chairman of the Ag Committee. But that's led HSUS to come and attack both the beef industry and the pork industry and our national associations and leadership, if you will, all in an effort to kind of try to distract us, drag us away from what we do in terms of providing a safe and abundant food supply for the world, get us to spend time and resources on things that don't help us raise pigs, and all trying to get us to sit down and maybe get out of their way so they can get their UEP agreement done. I hope what they're learning is that we're probably as hard-headed as they are when it comes to what we believe is right and how we believe it's right. And there's just no reason for those kinds of agreements to need to be in federal law. And so we're not planning to change our position at all, that we're going to continue to oppose that. And we'll just continue meeting them head on, if you will, as they come at us with challenges to check off programs. With it's sad when we see pork producers or beef producers or whatever that don't recognize that the real enemy that they're taking up sides with when they want to challenge one of the checkoff programs, and now they're in bed with HSUS. And, you know, it's a group that you can go back and look at their leadership, and they've said at times in the past their goal is to end animal agriculture. And so it's awful hard for us to negotiate with somebody whose goal is for us not to exist. And so that's going to be a challenge going forward. It's not going away next year. Much as I wish we'd flip the calendar to January and that issue would be gone and we could move on to something else, it's only going to become more of an issue for us, and we're going to spend more time and resources on it.
Of course, the thing we haven't mentioned yet is gestation crates.
Yeah, right now it's all about gestation stalls for them, and they're continuing to put pressure on retail and food service outlets to say they want to source product from gestation stall-free pork, if you will. And at the end of the day, you know, all of our market hogs never spend a day in the gestation stall. You know, we're talking about sows. But what we see is that the industry as a whole is not ready to provide that product. And none of the retailers, none of the food service entities, none of the folks that have made these big announcements have made any indication that they're willing to pay for the cost of transitioning from what we're using today in terms of gestation stalls to some form of group housing. And the cost is significant. If you look across the country and you say, okay, we got 5 million sows out here, and conservatively, let's say it's $200 a sow to convert them, you're talking in the billions of dollars when you start talking about what that number is. Well, where are those dollars going to come from? Feed costs are eating up. We're losing money on every hog we're selling. Where are we going to find the resources today to just walk in and make a change? And it's not a change that you make overnight. You got to empty the barn out to go in and make those changes. It's going to impact production. It's going to impact flow of animals. It's not as simple as just saying, oh, I'm going to, you know, I can change feed easier than I can change my housing system. And so that challenge isn't going away. We know that it's still going to be there. But realistically, until you start to see customers really say, we're going to pay a premium for buying that product. And if a customer wants to buy it today, you can go to Whole Foods and you can buy that product. You're going to pay a premium for it, just like you do at the supermarket today for cage-free eggs or free-range eggs or chicken or whatever it may be. You can buy it, but you're going to pay a premium for it. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the marketplace always manages those things. If people are willing to pay a premium for it, somebody will raise it to capture that premium. And to date, we just haven't seen the willingness of the consumer to pay that premium.
2012, historic year for the hog industry, especially when it comes to exports. Last year was good. 2011 was good. 2012 is even a little better.
Yeah, we set a record in 2011 for value of product exported. And through October, which is the latest data we've got in terms of exports, we're ahead of that pace. And October was a record month, larger than even last year, which was the largest October previously. So we continue to see exports playing a critical role in the value that we're getting for every hog that we sell. About $56 per head on a live weight basis is the value of exports today. Well, we're exporting over 24% of our production here in the country. So at a time that we're seeing really high hog prices, record pork prices, the demand around the world is still such that we're seeing increases in exports at record levels. And so I think that bodes well as we look into the future. And you and I have talked in the past, you know, as you look at economies that are growing, and most of the world's economy is growing. I mean, we've been kind of in this little recession doldrum here. But as you look to Asia and the populations, where the population centers of the world are, those economies are growing. Those folks are going to continue to add pork to their diet. And really, you know, when you look, pork's the most widely consumed meat protein in the world. So as those economies continue to grow, as those folks continue to add more meat to their diet, the prospects for U.S. pork around the world are still very, very bright. So despite the challenges at home, I think sometimes we get caught up in, God, it just looks bleak at home. We got high feed prices and we got activists to deal with and we got all these other challenges. The fact remains that if you can take off some of those blinders and you can really look at the big picture, there's a lot of really bright prospect out there for the pork industry, the U.S. pork industry in particular, as we look to what the future may hold and what future markets are out there. You know, 1% of China's pork market is worth $1 billion. And so when we start saying we want to get some of China's business, we don't run it all. We'd love to have it, but we're not big enough to get there. But just 1% of what they buy in terms of pork on an annual basis would be worth $1 billion to U.S. pork producers. And so when you look long term, there's no way they're going to be able to raise the amount of pork they need to feed their population. They're going to have to buy it on the international market. And if we can continue to be competitive, continue to put out quality, safe product, they're going to buy from us because they're doing it today. And nobody in the world today can compete with us in terms of quality, consistency, price. And so as long as we manage those things and keep them in line, the prospects for us, I think, are really good looking to the future. So maybe that's a little bit of positive, a little positive thought as we head into 2013.
What about 2013? What do you think and what do you see out there for your producers?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier. We're going to see, I think, assuming we can get a corn crop, we're going to see some return to profitability. And I think that's very important to us that we get back there. We've got to have, when I say this, we got to have rain. You know, we're recording this and they're talking about maybe a blizzard coming on Christmas Day. And I don't like playing in the snow a whole lot, but I'm praying for 2 feet of snow for Oklahoma because we need the water really bad. I think that, for the most part, we're going to continue to work every day. We provide, you know, we get up every day and we work with, we're going to care for our animals. We're going to put, you know, food safety is a priority for us. We're going to take care of the environment. We're going to set those priorities, those goals and standards that I think most everyone in the country would share as you start your day, as you look at what you expect from the people that are trying to feed the world. And we're going to keep working on that. You know, pork exports from Oklahoma are still the third most exported product in the state. And I tell that everywhere I go, and people just look at me like, you got to be kidding me. Those prospects are very bright. Japan, South Korea, as we see these free trade agreements that kind of got implemented over the past 12 to 18 months, South Korea, Panama, Colombia, we start to see those. We start to talk about a free trade agreement with the European Union, and as long as they include agriculture as a part of that agreement, we're going to support it because we recognize there's a population that they don't have the land mass to produce what they need to feed their population, and we can raise pork today cheaper than they can. And so they're going to continue to buy. We think there's a tremendous market there. We've talked about prospects in Asia and China and that. So I think overall we have prospects for 2013 to just be an exceptional year. The futures market today says, you know, dollar lean hogs, which I didn't know that I'd ever see dollar hogs in my time. I just thought that we were always going to be in that $40 to $60 range, and that's where we'd be. And here we're talking about $1 lean hogs, which would be 75, 80 cent live hogs. And if production continues to come down just a little bit, you could see those numbers go even higher. Traditionally, they do go a little higher as you get closer to that time frame. So prospects are good. We really need a rain, not just here, but across the Corn Belt as well. But I think most folks feel pretty good about the way things are shaping up going into 2013. And like I said, everybody would feel a little better if we got just a little bit of rain.
Roy Lee Lindsay, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Pork Council, joining us today. I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.